Hello, church. It's good to have you here today. We're glad that you're with us. If you're visitors, a couple of words just to let you know what's happening today. Normally, we don't hit people up for money like we are today, and you are exempt. You are completely free. You may even riffle through your wallet in front of us and go, ha, 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 because you are not under obligation here. This is an unusual Sunday. We have Pure Change Sunday, which we do every month. We bring in our change. We don't spend our change. We decided we're going to dedicate that to the widows and orphans. And so at any time during the service, and yes, even during the sermon, kids can come up or adults can come up and put their change there, or you can do so after. There's also our regular contribution today. We do that every week. That's fair. But then there's a second contribution today. We only do that for missions once a year, and that's a missions giving. Again, visitors, we're not going to hit you up three times when you come. Please understand that. This is an unusual day, but we have set aside some time to do this because missions are important to us. Also, you may notice in the back of your pews, there, most areas, there are now new Bibles put in there, so you have access to those. And if you need Bibles, there's either those or you'll find tables in the back where there are extra Bibles as well. With that said, this is Ancient Words. We are spending some time taking a look at a very old prayer, the prayer of St. Patrick, sometimes called the Deer's Cry or the Breastplate of Patrick. It is a prayer that he would use to get himself out of the house in the morning, the bravery, get his mind right before he would face the incredible challenges of trying to convert pagan Ireland in those days when such a work took many lives. So he had to get ready for it. And he would march out after saying this prayer. Now, we're still using Scripture, and we still elevate Scripture above ancient prayers. But sometimes ancient prayers and knowledge of them help us get words to what we're feeling and find words to speak to God and to each other. And so this section of the prayer is for today. I bind into myself today the virtues of the starlit heaven, the glorious sun's life-giving ray, the whiteness of the moon at even, the flashing of the lightning free, the whirling wind's tempestuous shocks, the stable earth, the deep salt sea, around the old eternal rocks. Using nature to get him stronger before he left for the day. And how many of us have stood and watched the thunderstorms, especially this week, and we see the lightning, and we go, that's amazing. Did you see the double rainbow? I think that was on Thursday that came. And then there were the pink clouds of yesterday that were amazing. We look at this and we go, God is awesome. Or we'll stand beside the sea when the waves are coming in and we'll say, God is just an amazing God. Or maybe we'll watch a show on television like Life or one of those planet Earth type shows and we'll see all the different creatures and we'll go, that's amazing. The Scripture says you're supposed to. You're supposed to, when you look at all of this, say, there is a God and He is a great God. Even goes so far as to say in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, they are the same psalm, it's repeated. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. As one of my old Bible teachers once told me, he said, there's people in the world that are worse than fools because instead of just saying it in their heart, they come right out and blurt it in public. Yet I understand why some people might not know there's a God and might think, well, I've been told this all just kind of happened anyway. But Paul goes a very different route. In Romans chapter 1, he says a very audacious thing. He says, everything that can be known about God, you heard it read here by Brother Wilson today, everything that can be known about God can be discerned by the things that He made. Now that one, just take your head off if you think about it for a while. And the psalmist put it this way, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. In other words, this is universal. Anybody can walk out of their door, see what God has made, and know there must be a God. And if God can make this, He can keep His promises to us. See, that's the other side of this equation. We've got to keep that in mind. Most of you who are regular attenders here know my story. I was raised by Christian people who deserved better, but I was a difficult individual and was, now I'm just peachy keen, but I was a difficult individual. And as I was doing my doctoral work, I tried very hard to be an atheist because the atheists were the smart people. And the atheists would laugh at the Bible. Ha ha ha, flood. Ha ha ha, Adam. And they were the smart people and they must know something. I tried very hard to go that route. Problem was, I had a microscope. And I kept finding things. And I kept seeing things that couldn't just happen. I know stuff can just happen. I know enough about chaos theory and the like. I've raised a 2-year-old. I understand how things can deconstruct. But this is different. This is something different. So, I'm going to go at it a different way today. I've done a lot of Christian evidences stuff through the years, and this isn't it. This is going to be something that you probably haven't heard about. Back in the 60s and 70s, they told us to talk to our plants because it makes them happy. But they were also smoking various plants at the same time. So the aspect of research and how valid it is probably not up to a good standard. However, as back in the late 1980s, but really the 1990s and forward, so there have been several universities that have determined that that plants actually do communicate, and they communicate quite well and through a very elaborate way. This is the University of Bonn, that's in Germany, University of Kyoto, that's in Japan. There are several others. The University of the Netherlands is in on this. They've been studying this for 20 years. Now, plants don't talk with mouths because they don't have them. But what they do have is a very complex system of chemical communication. And so when you bombard these things with ethylene gas and then you read it by reading a laser array on it, believe it or not, this works. Think of if you remember the old Close Encounters of the Third Kind. They came down and beeped at you. All right, there you are. This is a way of communication. In fact, they even found one cucumber. They decided, because cucumbers are kind of quiet. I'm sorry, but this is true. Apples won't shut up. Apples are, that's why when an apple tree goes ripe, automatically things start to go mushy and overripe. Because as soon as one goes ripe, it tells the other ones, hurry up. It literally does. It sends out chemicals. Well, they had cucumbers thinking that this will be quiet, and one of them was screaming. And so they checked it and found it had mildew on it. And it was disturbing the dermis, the skin of the thing. And so they had to clean it off. It got quiet. This is, I know people are going, really? This is real stuff. Amazing stuff. They found, for example, whenever a plant is getting munched by a mite, many plants, including cucumbers, who are normally reticent, will release a chemical that says to the other cucumbers, change your flavor, something's eating me. And the others will change their sugar content within minutes, all in the patch, because one cried out. But then we can talk about lima beans. Somebody needs to talk about lima beans. And I'm 53 years old, and I've never heard a sermon on lima beans. So we're going to do a few minutes on lima beans here. They have 5 defenses. As soon as any mite starts biting on them, they send out the signal, there's danger in the patch. They also send out another one, change your flavor, which would seem to me to be a bit not necessary, because you're already lima bean flavored. But the sugar content changes in the rest of the patch very, very quickly. It sends out another chemical to make itself taste bad to the mite, while sending out a 4th chemical that is an attractive chemical to the things that eat the mites, so that they will come down and kind of know there's a mite there. The world is more complicated than you think. And we haven't even started talking about quantum physics because my wife won't let me. But if you start thinking, you start seeing the universe and you're staggered by this. And it absolutely knocks you back. This world is amazing. By the way, this is also nice to know if you have PETA friends who say, don't eat animals, they're our friends, they have faces. And yeah, okay. But if you're eating a salad, the thing's screaming at you. If you can hear the scream, get therapy. But it is screaming at you. I've even wondered, does grass wonder, if there is a God, then why are there lawnmowers? Because that's what we do, right? We'll say, if there is a God, then why am I experiencing pain? You know, why are there fat people walking on me? You know, if there's a God, he should stop this. Paul put it another way. He said, all creation cries out with us. And we didn't know what he meant until a few years ago. How about birds? I like birds. You know that. Are you aware that we have a whole bunch of engineers now studying the toucan? Bring up that picture. There he is. Cute little guys. Thing is, if you've never seen them, they really are little. Their bodies are about this big. There are several different kinds. There's some that are like this, but the biggest ones are about this big. And then they got this big beak out there. The beak is incredibly strong and incredibly light, and we still don't know how to make one. And engineers right now, today, at Hughes Aircraft and Boeing, are pouring millions of dollars every year into studying that beak, trying to figure out how can we form planes out of a foam-filled keratin substance like this. How can we come up with this? Because our planes would be lighter, stronger, more flexible. That means they break less. They would take a lot less fuel. We wouldn't have to replace them nearly as often as we do today. But we're not as smart as the beak of a bird. That was done by God. Bridge engineers are trying to figure out how to do this as well. You can make a bridge that's earthquake proof. Because you can shake all you want to. It's going to bend, but not so far as to lose its structural integrity. But it's not going to break. It is going to bring it right back. You don't bend one of these beaks and they stay that way. They're strong. To this day, I thank God for the microscope and for songs like "This Is My Father's World." I actually requested that song. I know it's an old English hymn, but I requested it because to this very day, when I think of God and I think of the fact that I came back to really believing in God, one of the reasons was in the rustling grass, I can hear him pass. I can see in the leaves. I can see in the animals that there is something there that is beyond our ability to do or understand to this date. You in your body right now have 660,000 billion cells. In America, you call that 60 trillion. Trillion's a different number in Britain, believe it or not. Yeah, I know. We're just being difficult at this stage. 60,000 billion cells in your body. And every single one of them is a complex civilization. It is a complete civilization. You have power plants in each one of these. We call them mitochondria. They are producing energy. But that doesn't help anybody unless it's spread about enough to put things together. So you need factories in each of them, and these factories produce the energy. Then you have to deliver the energy to different parts of the cell. So you have a network of interstates called the endoplasmic reticulum. But that's not enough either. Once you've got the energy to these places, what are they going to do with them? Well, there are small construction areas building proteins out of the various amino acids in every one of the 60,000 billion cells in your body. There's UPS. We call them Golgi bodies. But what these things do is they pack up the energy and they make sure it's shipped to the right place, not only in the cell, but to the other part of your body. If you have a headache, what do? You take some aspirin, which goes in your stomach. What sense does that make? Your cells are smart enough to break everything down, package it, and ship it where it's needed. We can't do that yet. Oh, you read Parade magazine in today's paper, somewhere in there will be an ad saying, take this pill, it'll get the cellulite off of your thighs, or it'll take the spare tire around. No pill can do this. No pill can go, well, you know, the person's looking pretty good, but I think they're a little heavy under the chin. Doesn't work. But your own cells know how to do things. And in every cell, oh, by the way, you also have a trash system, lysosomes. Lysosomes in every single cell go around, pick up the trash, and either burn it or expel it or recycle it for fuel. It's a whole city. I've saved one quarterback from the widows. They will get it later. I just wanted to illustrate the size. Put a quarter on any place in your body. And you're covering 1 yard of blood vessels. Just right there. 4 yards of nerve cells. An average 54 nerve endings there. And 100 sweat glands. You're covering 3 million cells in all. If there's hair there, the hair's pretty valuable stuff. We don't need as much of it as some European men in Speedos, but we still need hair. Oh. I've been on cruise ships, people, and oh my. You never look at a pop can of biscuits the same way again, buddy. It's just, oh. Anyway, we don't need all that much, but hair does a lot of things. It's an early warning system and the like, but it also, it's what keeps your skin moisturized. Oh, hair doesn't do that, except it acts as a lever. Every time it's brushed, it acts as a lever bringing up the oil glands and getting that up on the surface of the skin. Everything is designed just right. And what happens if you happen to break some of your skin? It fixes itself. Do you understand how weird that is? My house is 9 years old. It has siding on it. Some of the siding's starting to do this. Pull away a little bit. My wife says, we better get that fixed. I say, wait. If Darwin's right, it's either going to fix itself or it's becoming a better house. And then we call and get it fixed. Because she said to. But it's just amazing. The DNA. There's DNA in every one of those 60,000 billion cells. Every one of them. DNA, which is in your body alone. Just your body. We can take it. It's very small. We can take it all the way to the sun. And back. And to the sun. And back. 400 times. And that's the DNA in your body. But it is still so small, we can get all human DNA on the planet inside of one aspirin bottle. When the psalmist says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, he had it right. And it can't just happen. And I really appreciate the tip jar being up here. Wow, that wasn't on the notes either. Ethylene gas. No, nothing. All right, anyway. Now, the whole point of this is, go ahead and bring up the next slide. You go out and you look at the universe. And you just go, wow, how'd this happen? People say, well, once upon a time, there was nothing, and then it blew up. That doesn't do this. That's not a sufficient first cause for cucumbers being smart enough to be able to change their flavor, call for predators, lima beans being able to put a repellent into the mouth of that thing that's eating them, which might be you. You might be thinking, hey, who am I to fight nature? You know, whatever it is, when people come to our house, they're very kind, they're very sweet. Almost all of them will say, wow, this house is beautiful. Cammy, you did a great job designing and decorating this thing. They've never said, Patrick, you've done a great job designing and decorating this place. Why? Because Patrick is not a sufficient first cause for the way the house is. Do you understand sufficient first cause? You have a 3-year-old, that is not a sufficient first cause for a Ford in your driveway. Where'd you get the car? The kid built it. No, they didn't. How they build it? Out of nothing. Stuff that doesn't appear now, according to Paul. Quantum physics proves him right. I had to say it. He's not a sufficient first cause. A boom isn't a sufficient first cause for people, lemurs, dandelions, and politicians. It doesn't do that. All of this, only God can do this. The roadways, you have more than 180 miles of roadway in your body. If we're just talking about blood, we got to go way much bigger than that if we're talking about nerves. Repair themselves, fix themselves, keep on going. You ever been down I-75? We're not up to God level yet. Let's not start criticizing them. he's doing a better job than we've ever done. So it is only the fool who says there is no God when confronted by all of this. And we need to remember when we go out in the morning, everything about this. We need, as Patrick did, to say, yes, I'm going to remember my father did this. And if he can do this, he is in charge of my life. He knows what I need and he's going to supply it. And he knows where I need to be and he'll take care of it. And we will get through this. We'll do it right. I bind into myself today the virtues of the starlit heaven, the glorious sun's life-giving ray, the whiteness of the moon at evening, the flashing of the lightning free, the whirling wind's tempestuous shocks, the stable earth, the deep salt sea, around the old eternal rocks. Bring your team on up, would you please? Any God that can do this is a God who is incredibly mighty, a God that's incredibly wise, a God that's incredibly creative, a God that loves change. It always gets me, people say, I hate it when things change. Wow, universe really aggravates you, doesn't it? It always changes. That's what God does. And he's also big enough to help us do what we need to do. Amen, church? And I don't care what happens. That's poorly phrased. Let me back up. I care what happens in Detroit. I care what happens with our economy. But that doesn't, it's not going to make a bit of difference about what God can do. And God can still use us to do incredible things in incredible ways. Because look what he's already done, and he invites us to be a part of it. Amen, church? Let's stand and sing to our God.